When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Tonight was the final Raw before WrestleMania this weekend, and it was largely a lackluster show. Solid show. Did what it was supposed to do, but largely a lackluster show. Very heavy on the promo side. Pushing the key stories going into WrestleMania this weekend, which is, of course, what they're saving all of the excitement for. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania this weekend. There's a lot of matches on that card, both nights that I'm looking forward to, but tonight, the main event was the Battle of the Undefeateds. It was Cody Rhodes one-on-one with Solo Sikoa, two men who have not been pinned on the main roster, Cody since coming back, and Solo Sikoa since debuting on the main roster at Clash at the Castle. And what we saw was Cody Rhodes handing Solo Sikoa his first pinfall loss on the main roster. They did not cheap out like I thought they would with the disqualification finish. It took two Cody Cutters and two Crossroads over the course of the match, but Cody was able to get the job done, and that gives him momentum now going into the main event on Sunday, which could be a bad omen for him. Sometimes that is a bad thing if you win here in your final match heading into the pay-per-view. We are going to see one more face-off between Cody and Roman Reigns. It'll be this Friday on SmackDown. That'll be the last head-to-head promo battle between those two. Tonight we had a weigh-in between Brock Lesnar and Omos for their epic encounter coming up at WrestleMania, the irresistible force against the immovable object. I had a couple of people this week leaving comments telling me that this is basically this generation's Hulk Hogan against Andre. Let me compose myself here. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Tell me you didn't live through Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant without telling me that you did not live through Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. But it is the battle of the big men on I don't know which night it's airing, Saturday or Sunday, I guess. But we had one man actually weigh in. The other man never did. We had one person who actually got on the scale and then tried to use it as a weapon. It was short. Hopefully, like the match will be this weekend. They saved the best WrestleMania parody for last. We got the Bloodline parody tonight. We'll talk about that. And they announced Stacy Keibler, kind of the worst kept secret, that Stacy Keibler is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year, which makes this year's Hall of Fame class Rey Mysterio as the headliner, the Great Muda, who never wrestled a match in WWE, no less deserving, but never wrestled for WWE, Andy Kaufman as the celebrity inductee, who also never worked in WWE, and Stacy Keibler. She is the female inductee this year. The rumor is that we will get the annual Warrior Award, and there are rumors going around that it could be a referee going in this year. So it might be the referee getting the Warrior Award. They did not make any mention of it tonight, though. There was no mention of a referee. There was no mention of the Warrior Award. So a very small Hall of Fame class, which I really don't have a problem with, but that's all that we got out of WWE tonight. Maybe they're going to save it as a surprise. Maybe at the Hall of Fame on Friday night, they'll spring it on that person. Either that or in the next couple of days, they'll just give the news to Variety or so, or People Magazine, and they'll break the Warrior Award announcement. This is your Monday Night Raw review. I am the Solid Monster. It is Monday, March 27th, 2023. Raw tonight opened with a Miz TV segment with the Women's Tag Team Champions Becky Lynch and Lita, along with Trish Stratus, coming out. Miz asked Becky what it felt like to know that the man could not beat Damage Control on her own and had to call in the reinforcements. And Becky said that she is the man. Miz is a man, an insecure one with tiny balls. We're still doing this. We are still doing the tiny balls nonsense. Miz said that he has massive balls and that Maryse would verify this. And Becky said that it must be nice to know that Maryse did not get around much before she married The Miz. Miz asked Trish and Lita why they returned just to play backup to Becky. And Lita was showing off her tag team title belt to show that I don't feel like I'm playing backup here. I got a championship belt here. Damage Control came out, and Bayley was pissed that their WrestleMania match to them was just a match. But it meant everything to Damage Control. Bayley said that Trish and Lita were last relevant 20 years ago. And Trish reminded her that Lita was a tag team champion right now. She said, this would have been a dream match for me. This is Bayley talking now. This would have been a dream match for me 20 years ago. But her dream now was to end them. Becky then cut Bayley off and went on a very impassioned rant. This was Becky Lynch getting fired up, trying to do the last big sell job here on this match for this weekend. And she talked about how she wasted, Bayley wasted, two of the best talents from NXT, a former NXT Women's Tag Team Champion, Io Sky, she said, one of the greatest NXT Women's Champions of all time. And she was putting each of them over, is what Becky was doing, and saying that now they're basically doing nothing. She said, it's the same old stuff since SummerSlam last year. She goes, I thought this was over at War Games. Then I thought it was over after you and I had our steel cage match. So did I, by the way. I thought we were done at that point, but apparently not. So now she says she'll have to end it at WrestleMania. And Becky got fired up. She did her best. She did her best to try to drive this home. That led us into the opening match, which was Becky against Io Sky one-on-one. There was a couple of beautiful moves here by Io Sky. At one point, she hit a dropkick that took Becky off the top rope to the floor. And then Io went out onto the apron, hit a springboard moonsault onto Becky on the floor. She got Becky back inside, tried for her moonsault. Becky rolled out of the way, barely. I think Io caught her with her legs, but she rolled out of the way, hit the manhandle slam, and got the win. I thought this may have been the best match that Io Sky has had since being called up to the main roster. At least as far as singles matches. This may have been her best match. I thought this was actually very good. Crowd was hot for it. And as I said, on the Miz TV segment, Becky did her best at the very end to really just drive home the story of the match, which is that she put over Io and Dakota as two supremely talented individuals who are being basically held back, held down by Bayley. And now we wait and see what happens at WrestleMania. You know, are we going to see the end of Damage Control? Bayley did an interview a few weeks ago with Ariel Helwani where she was talking. She wants to add more members. She's been pitching Triple H on adding even more members. She said, ideally, we'd have five in Damage Control. And she had other names in mind from NXT and the main roster. She wasn't talking like somebody who was ready to, you know, see this group come to an end. Then again, I'm sure the members of the Hurt Business were not ready to see that group come to an end either, but we all know how that went. But there's also been talk of maybe Trish Stratus going heel, which is what I had predicted. I did my WrestleMania predictions. I think we are headed for a Trish Stratus turn. I think we're headed for a Trish Stratus-Becky Lynch program coming out of WrestleMania. Whether or not she, plays a role in their losing on, you know, in their trios match this weekend, that remains to be seen. But I do think that's the direction that they're going in. We got a great video package. Speaking of the women, we got a great video package for Asuka. We had Becky Lynch calling Io Sky one of the greatest women's champions in the history of NXT. This right here is the greatest women's champion, arguably, in the history of NXT. And they had a great video package for Asuka. They reminded us that she went undefeated in singles matches for 914 days. That was her undefeated streak between NXT and the main roster. Asuka went unbeaten in singles matches for 914 days until she ran into Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 34. And that was the end of that. That was the end of that streak. That's the Asuka that I miss. Watching the old clips of her, the old NXT clips, and they had wrestlers, Kevin Owens, and like a lot of different people in this video package, putting her over and putting over how dangerous she was and just how much of a monster she used to be, just kind of tearing through that women's division. That's the Asuka that I miss. That's the Asuka that I miss. That's the Asuka that felt dangerous, as opposed to feeling like a cartoon character. That's the Asuka that I was hoping that we would see more of when Triple H took over. And I know Asuka was gone for a while. She may have been hurt, but that's the Asuka that I was looking to see once Triple H took over. Because Triple H was in charge of NXT when Asuka was on that streak. Many years ago, when she was the NXT Women's Champion. So Triple H knows all about Asuka. He knows all about what she can do. He knew the right way to book her when she first came in, and I was hopeful. I'm still waiting. We have not seen that. And I'm hoping that there is more to this new version of Asuka with the new face paint and everything than what we've seen over the last several weeks, because what we've seen over the last month and a half, or I guess it would be since the Royal Rumble, so you can go back even 2 months, isn't really all that different from the Asuka that we've had over the last several years. So I'm hoping at WrestleMania or coming out of WrestleMania, something else will be different. She'll have more of an edge. Or perhaps she'll walk out of WrestleMania with the Women's Championship. Right now, I think Bianca is retaining. Bianca Belair this weekend at WrestleMania will hit 1 year as the champion. And I think that she's going to walk out with that championship. I hope I'm wrong. That's one of the predictions that I hope I'm wrong about. But just the feeling I have, I feel like she's going to be retaining that title. Now, earlier today, Mustafa Ali interrupted a Seth Rollins interview. He's being interviewed in the backstage area. And he annoyed Seth. And Seth reminded him how when he was the United States champion, Ali was begging him for a fight. And Ali said, well, wait a minute, that was a long time ago. And Rollins said, all good things come to those who wait. So he said that tonight they would meet in the ring. We didn't have to wait very long for it because up next, one-on-one, it was Seth Rollins against Mustafa Ali. Rollins got to the ring and the crowd would not stop singing. They would not stop singing his theme song. And I thought, thank you, Based Jericho. We can all thank Chris Jericho for this. This is incredible. I'm so glad that Jericho invented that. It's great. I love it. So Rollins had Ali upside down in a tree of woe, and he delivered a stomp, which was pretty, visually it looked good. Then he finished him off with a proper curb stomp. Ali sold it great. And Rollins got the pin. I mean, if this went 2 minutes, I'd be shocked. After the match was over, Rollins got on the mic. He said, this Saturday at WrestleMania, he finally gets his hands on Logan Paul. He said, Logan has made himself a joke all throughout his life. And if he can't beat Logan Paul at WrestleMania, then he's the joke. Logan threw him out of the Royal Rumble. Logan cost him the Elimination Chamber. And then he cheap shotted him not once, but twice, knocked him out. Said in 5 days, it all comes back around. This Saturday also happens to be Logan's birthday. But it's not going to be a very happy birthday. And they'll be serenading him at WrestleMania. It won't be the birthday song. Instead, they're going to be serenading him with someone else. And the crowd took their cue and they began to sing his music. And Chris Jericho got a nice tingle up his legs. Up in Manitoba. Footage aired from earlier of Baron Corbin complaining to Adam Pearce in the back about not having a match at WrestleMania. Yet he's going around and he's doing signings all over the country and he's doing meet and greets. Who wants to meet Baron Corbin, by the way? He's doing signings and meet and greets all over the country. Chelsea Green interrupted. She asked Pearce why she wasn't in the women's showcase match at WrestleMania. Pierce said that Chelsea doesn't have a tag team partner and Piper Niven wants nothing to do with her after last week. Sonya Deville showed up and she told Chelsea that she did Pierce's job better than he did. Pierce said that they would have to earn their way into the four-way by winning a qualifying match if they want to be partners. He even suggested they can call themselves the Complainers. But if they want in at WrestleMania, they have to win a qualifying match later on tonight against Mia Yim and Candice LeRae, or should I say Meechin? It's Meechin, right? Meechin. I don't know what happened to Carmella. That's 2 weeks in a row. No Carmella. No mention of Carmella. I hope she's okay. I was enjoying, it was only a couple of weeks, but I was enjoying the pairing with her and Chelsea Green. I said, okay, all right, you're going to have women's tag team titles. You need teams. I could see that being a team. And then Carmella just vanished. And Carmella had just come back. And considering what she went through, if you know the story of what she went through, it was a very personal thing, potentially life-threatening that she went through. She was gone for many months. She only recently just came back, and now she's disappeared again. So that's a little troublesome. Hopefully everything is okay. But, you know, to go through all that, make your way back, start something with, you know, in this case with Chelsea, get this new team going, and then disappear again and miss WrestleMania. That sucks for her. But hopefully, whatever it is, it's not too serious. So then it was weigh-in time. Oh, we had the weigh-in here on the show tonight. The weigh-in for a match that has no weight limits. Makes sense to me. Corey Graves was in the ring with Adam Pearce to introduce the weigh-in for the Brock Lesnar-Omos match at WrestleMania. Omos and his fellow Homo sapien MVP came down to the ring first. MVP cut the promo for Omos, talking about Brock Lesnar's accomplishments and how he will not be able to suplex Omos at WrestleMania. He will not be able to F5 Omos at WrestleMania. Omos got on the scale, and the referee claimed that he was 410 pounds. Now, he weighed in at 416 pounds back in November in Saudi Arabia when they did the weigh-in for his match against Braun Strowman. So he's actually slimmed down. Maybe he's been doing his DDP yoga. At least the referee here had a much easier time than Big Show did when it came to the Cody Rhodes, Anthony Ogogo weigh-in in AEW that time. Referee didn't have as much trouble as poor Big Show did. So Cowboy Brock, hee-haw, he made his way out, took his hat off, and saluted the crowd. He came down to the ring. Instead of stepping on the scale, he charged at Omos, tried to take him off his feet with a pair of shoulder blocks, could not do so. Brock tripped as he was running across, caught himself, but he tripped as he was running across the ring to grab the scale. And when he turned around, he ate the foot of Omos, who caught him with a big boot right to the face. And Lesnar rolled out of the ring. He scampered away out of the ring, and Omos was about to pick up the scale and hit him with it. So Lesnar rolled out of the ring, and Lesnar, you know, he was showing self-doubt on his face. Very similar to the segment they did a few weeks ago where Brock got knocked out of the ring and kind of looked back at Omos as if, okay, all right, yeah, maybe I underestimated this guy. Maybe I didn't take this guy seriously enough. Had a similar look on his face here. So they were trying to tell that story that Brock doesn't have the magic formula. He may not know how to take the big man down going into WrestleMania. Look, there was not much to this segment, okay? Brock, easiest job in the world this guy has. There's not much that you can do. I mean, what are you going to do? You have Brock Lesnar, who never wrestles on TV. You have Omos, who basically never wrestles on TV. They're very limited. I mean, Omos is limited anyway in what he can do, right? He has MVP out there cutting promos for him. Now, I've heard Omos outside of the ring in media appearances and other things, and he can talk. He actually has personality. You would never know it watching him on TV because he's doing, you know, the whole classic scary giant gimmick. But he doesn't do any talking on television. Physically, he's limited anyway in what he can do. And so what do you expect? I mean, they're not going to have them in tag team matches going into the weekend. And if it was either this or a contract signing. So they elected to go with a weigh-in, which again makes no sense because there's no weight limits for this match. There's no divisions for this thing. So, you know, they did what they could. And look, if you give too much away on TV, you're giving away basically the entire match at WrestleMania. The match at WrestleMania is not going to be very long. So there's not much for them to give away. So what they did here I thought was fine, but this is about as good as it's going to get with these two. Thankfully, WrestleMania is this weekend, and this will all be over very soon. Byron Saxton was in the back to interview Rhea Ripley, challenging Charlotte Flair this weekend for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley was wearing a Dominic Mysterio t-shirt with images of Dominic being arrested on it with the tagline, "Bail me out, mommy, I won't make it in jail." That is a real t-shirt. That is a t-shirt that is up in the Dominic Mysterio section on WWEshop.com. You can buy it right now. I can't believe it hasn't sold out. I can't believe, not only that, the shirt is actually marked down. So if you want a discount, you won't have to pay the usual $30. I think it's marked down to like $22 or $23. You can get yourself a Dominic Mysterio shirt. She said WrestleMania comes down to Charlotte's legacy against her destiny. And Charlotte won't stop her from becoming the SmackDown Women's Champion at WrestleMania.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We got a video with Finn Balor addressing a promo that Edge cut last week. The very bizarre floating Edgehead promo that had the video production quality of a WWF home video from 1993. He cut his own promo regarding the Hell in a Cell match coming up with Edge. Balor said there's nothing more dangerous than a caged demon. And he said that Edge can do whatever he has to do to unlock his demon, but he doesn't have to summon his demon because it's always there. You just have to look closely. And when he said that, they did the CGI shit where, you know, they were showing the demon paint on him. It would disappear, then it would reappear, and little hints of the demon. But when this was over, they cut to a graphic that basically just showed the demon. They flat out said it's going to be the demon Finn Balor taking on Edge in the Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania this weekend. Hey, it had better production values than that Edge video did last week. I'll say that much. The thing with the demon, as long as he doesn't climb up to the top rope, he'll be okay. If he stays grounded, he might have to avoid the coup de grace, but if he can avoid that, I think he'll be okay. Because as we know from last time, he does not do very well on the top rope. So if he stays grounded, I think he's got this match in the bag. We had the four teams in the men's showcase match of WrestleMania here partnering up. We had the Street Profits partnering with Braun Strowman and Ricochet. There was a backstage segment on SmackDown this past week where they were making fun of each other, calling each other bald. That's a great way to, you know, put the other opponents over. So here they were partners against the Viking Raiders and the Alpha Academy. And this was a fun match. This may have been the most fun match on the entire show. We got a good back and forth early on between Angelo Dawkins and Chad Gable. And we even, believe it or not, I had to look at the calendar. I had to look at the day of the week that it was. We got a rare sighting of the Strowman Express here on a Monday night. Usually, the train is out of service on Monday. Typically, the train only runs on Friday. So this was a very rare Monday trip here. He took out three people outside the ring, circling around the bend with the body blocks. As he tried to get into the ring where Eric was of the Viking Raiders, Eric caught Strowman with a knee lift. Strowman, though, came right back and gave him a spine buster. And Ricochet hit a swanton bomb off of Braun's shoulders onto Eric. Montez Ford, who had tagged in, was the legal man. He leaped over Braun Strowman. Braun literally looked up in the air and he saw Montez Ford flying over his head and turning his body in midair for the frog splash onto Eric. He pinned Eric to win the match for his team. So very good stuff. Very good stuff here from all eight men in this match. I have Strowman and Ricochet as my pick to win at WrestleMania. Now, if Owens and Zayn win, I could see the Viking Raiders. They would be my second pick or my dark horse pick. So that way it gives Owens and Zayn a heel team that they could work with and beat coming out of WrestleMania. But I'm gonna stick with Strowman and Ricochet. I think they're going to get the win at WrestleMania. Should we let the clown hang around? Oh, we'll let the clown hang around for a while. He's a little busy controlling his narrative. We'll leave him there for a while. So Kathy Kelly was in the back, and she was interviewing Cody Rhodes. And she wondered if Cody was putting himself in a vulnerable position. Cody said he loved being in this position. Oh, TMI there. You know, I don't know. What he and Brandy do is their business, but he loves being in this position. And he knows how dangerous Solo Sikoa is. He says, if Paul Heyman, or Mr. Heyman, as he calls him, if Mr. Heyman was there, Rhodes might ask him why he was facing Heyman's enforcer. And Heyman always had an enforcer 6 days before the big show. Why are you facing the enforcer 6 days before the biggest match of your career at WrestleMania? They wanted to know if Rhodes had earned it, but the fire in him did not start recently. It started a long time ago. And he said that Solo would find out that he is not ready. And Cody said that he would go on to beat Roman Reigns for the championship at WrestleMania. So they saved the best for last. The final, what I assume is the final one. They may have one on WrestleMania itself, but the, I presume, final WrestleMania movie parody. This should be the final one, because I doubt they're going to have one better than this. This was the best of the bunch. This was the WrestleMania movie parody with the Bloodline reenacting the famous restaurant scene from Goodfellas with Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta, with Paul Heyman in the, he was sitting down laughing at a joke that Roman had just told. Everybody was laughing. The entire blood, except Solo. Solo never cracked. He was as serious as a heart attack. He just sat there. His expression never changed. But Jimmy and Jay were there. Heyman was there. Roman. They're all laughing. They're all yucking it up. And Heyman says that, Tribal Chief, you're funny. And Roman then pretends to be offended. And he asks Heyman, what do you mean by that? What do you mean? What do you mean I'm funny? Am I a tribal clown? And Heyman acts all nervous, and then they all bust out laughing. Again, everybody except Solo. And then the very end was very interesting, because everybody is laughing, and then they made fun of the waiter when he brought the check over. And then they cut to the WrestleMania logo. And almost like the post credits in a movie, right? You wait until the very end to see if there's a little Easter egg there at the end. At the very end of this, they come back to the Bloodline. And Solo, still with a serious look on his face, he leans in. He puts his shoulder on Roman. And he says to Roman Reigns, he goes, "You really are a funny tribal chief." And Roman seems confused, and he kind of looks back at Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, "I don't know." Oh, and that was the end of the ad. I love that. Some foreshadowing there. Some possible foreshadowing there of some problems maybe down the line with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. I like that. I like that they put that in there. It's going to get a lot of people talking. Even if it doesn't mean anything, it's going to get a lot of people talking. But this was great. This was the best of the bunch. And it also happens to be one of the most iconic, memorable scenes in cinema. If you've never seen Goodfellas, I don't know what you're waiting for. You got to go see Goodfellas. Goodfellas is great. I was asked a question once, buy or sell Goodfellas or Casino? And they're very similar, right? And a lot of very similar faces in those movies, but you got to go with Goodfellas. So we got a Bianca Belair video package with comments from Liv Morgan, Corey Graves, Montez Ford, Molly Holly, Beth Phoenix, other people. Morgan said that they knew Bianca would be special the day that she showed up at the PC, and Kevin Owens called Bianca against Asuka a must-see match. It certainly has not been a must-see feud. heading into WrestleMania. This is the most disappointing of all of the builds to a big match, championship match at WrestleMania. Think of all the titles that are on the line this weekend at WrestleMania. And Charlotte Flair against Rhea Ripley, I mean, it's right there, okay? That one isn't much better. But we've got the main event on Sunday, right? Really looking forward to that match. Intercontinental titles on the line, really looking forward to that. U.S. title on the line, John Cena going for the U.S. title, right? Looking forward to that. Tag titles. The Raw Women's Championship is the one that when I look at it, I say, I don't feel anything. I should be more excited for this match, and it's been 4 weeks, and they've done nothing. They really haven't done anything of note. So is it a must-see match? Yeah, I mean, look, you've got two women in there who should go out there and have an excellent match. There's no reason why they shouldn't. But man, as far as my excitement level for these matches going into this weekend, for this match, way at the very bottom. We went to Austin Theory, the reigning United States champion, who earlier today cut a promo in the ring in front of no fans. This was the empty arena promo with Austin Theory before Raw. Brought me back to the pandemic era shows, which I would like to forget. But this worked. And it worked in part because I guarantee you, had Theory cut this promo in front of the crowd, he would have been wanted to death. And there are just some promos. One of the things I will say that I do miss about the pandemic era, and it may be the only thing I miss about the pandemic era, besides Bailey just, you know, making Michael Cole's life a living hell and bashing him and insulting him every week. We got some of the best promo work in this company in years. Whether it was Edge or whether it was Randy Orton or Kevin or whoever, right? So many great promos. With no fans, with no crowd noise, whether it was in the middle of the ring or it was in the back or they did it cinematically, it gave us a chance to really focus on what these people were saying and not be so hung up on crowd reactions and not be so hung up on, oh, you know, the crowd is wutting and they're trying to like talk fast to avoid it or change their cadence or they're chanting this or they're chanting that. You block out all the noise and you just focus on what they're saying. Edge had a lot of very memorable promos like that during those pandemic shows. That is one element of the shows that I miss. So I thought that it was different. Because it's been a while since we've had a segment like that, thankfully. But I thought it worked here. Theory said a message for John Cena. And he said that he was in the ring alone here because it was no different than being in a sold-out SoFi Stadium. He said he doesn't do it for the WWE Universe. He doesn't do it for some kid who wants to be the next Austin Theory. He doesn't do it for some kid who might want to be the next John Cena. He said he does it for himself. He said that it's sad to know that he would have let John Cena go down as the hero. He would have let him go down as the hero. But John had to go out there a few weeks ago in that promo and make it personal. And he said some pretty wicked shit about Austin Theory. He buried that kid, right? No heart, no brains, no balls. You don't belong. You can't hang, right? He made it personal in that promo. He said everybody looks up to John Cena, so it's fitting that John Cena will be looking up to him. Said that he would make Cena believe in him. He would make the universe that Cena loves so much believe in him when they meet next Saturday at WrestleMania. This is the biggest match of Austin Theory's life, by far. This is the biggest match of his career coming up on Saturday. He's in the ring with somebody who he idolized growing up and wanted to be like John Cena. I think didn't he dress up like him for Halloween one year? He used to cosplay as him. So for him, I mean, this is huge, right? Being in the ring of WrestleMania with John Cena. But early on, I said, they look at Austin Theory. I said this probably a year ago. That this company looks at Austin Theory as the next John Cena. He's got that look where I think they look at him and say, this could be our next Cena. This could be the guy that we put on the posters and that we send around as the face of our company, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, next world champion. He's going to be a champion. he'll be WWE champion or Universal champion easily within the next 12 to 18 months. Austin Theory will be the champion. He will be the anointed one. So here's an opportunity for him to go in the ring with John Cena, the guy who they want him to be, and beat him and get a big win. And that's why I say, you know, he needs to win this match, because the way that Cena went in on him in that promo, and Cena has done this before over the years where he will go scorched earth in a promo on his opponent, especially if you can't hang with him or you make one little slip up. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, when he and Roman Reigns had their face off before their match 5 or 6 years ago, and Roman, it's like he froze in the middle of his promo. Almost like he lost his train of thought and didn't know what to say. And Cena was like, I mean, he's like a shark tasting blood. Just made a little snide comment about like, take your time, we'll wait. That one little burn. And you could see like Roman looked like he wanted to cry. So when Cena goes on the attack like that and makes it personal, it's important to me, you know, I look at the other person, I go, well, if this person comes back and he wins, he, you know, shoves it right back in Cena's face and says, well, there you go. I just proved you wrong. Austin Theory now needs to go to WrestleMania and prove that John Cena was wrong in what he said. When John Cena said, you have no heart. You have no heart. You have no balls. And you don't belong here. You're in over your head. Well, now he has to go out there and prove that everything John Cena said was wrong, because John Cena is going to leave after WrestleMania. And Austin Theory is going to be the guy that this company wants to build around. So I don't see any other outcome here but him going in there and winning. Now, could they have John Cena win, get WrestleMania started with a big shock title change, have John Cena drop the belt on Raw that, you know, next Monday? But in defeat, Austin Theory, it takes like 3 attitude adjustments and John Cena just barely gets by. And he comes to the realization, I was wrong. You do belong. Even though I won, like, you gave me the fight of my life. You do belong, Austin Theory. Could he put him over in that way and still beat him? Yeah, he could. But I still think Austin Theory should win this match. There's really no reason for him not to. John Cena is not going to be the one sticking around. Austin Theory is. I know Cena lost the last big singles match he had against Roman Reigns at SummerSlam a couple of years ago. He should lose here, too. There's no reason for him to win this match. We had Mia Yim and Candice LeRae taking on Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, the final qualifier for the Women's Showcase match at WrestleMania. On a night where the crowd in Phoenix was pretty up for most everything on this show, certainly up to this point, you knew there was bound to be one. And this was it. Really, no energy from this crowd for this match. Chelsea and Sonya, they are going to WrestleMania after Chelsea hit Candice with the kill switch and pinned her. Carmella's loss is Sonya Deville's gain, because now she gets a spot on the WrestleMania card that she would not have had. Kathy Kelly was in the back to interview Paul Heyman. This was Heyman's retort to what Cody Rhodes said earlier. His response: Heyman said that Cody doesn't fear the tribal chief because he's not ready. Heyman said Solo Sikoa is ready. He's going to weaken Cody for his match this Sunday. He said Sikoa was not there to compete. He was there to put a beating on Cody Rhodes so that he would not be 100% going into his match with Roman Reigns. He said Cody has never been ready. He said Cody is not ready to fill the shoes of the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. So there you go. There's your one dusty mention for tonight. He's not ready to fill the shoes of the American Dream or to become the man of this generation or to beat Roman Reigns. And Heyman also said that Cody will have to take the emotional baggage that Reigns is going to dump on him this Friday on SmackDown into their match at WrestleMania. It was a very strong promo from Heyman. It went on for a while. The way that Heyman delivers these promos, but it was a strong promo for, you know, again, this is the main event of WrestleMania. We're going to get one more face-off this Friday. But Heyman, as much as Roman, Heyman is always a very important part of the build to these matches for Roman Reigns. He knows the important points to hit. Him and Roman have their hands in all of his creative. This entire story has been crafted in part by Paul Heyman. So he knows the notes to hit. He knows what he has to cover. He's got his checklist. And he goes out and he delivers.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We have the Hall of Fame boy, Rey Mysterio. He was in action here tonight, one-on-one with Damian Priest. Dominic was out with Priest, came to the ring together, and he had the microphone before the match. He was talking about how it takes a real low life to hit your own son. He said his father really is a deadbeat. Dominic said that after Priest beats Rey here tonight, then he humiliates him this weekend at WrestleMania. Everybody is going to know what a failure of a father he is. And he pitched it to footage of the big angle from SmackDown last Friday where Rey finally hauled off and decked his son. And everybody rejoiced. Everybody was so happy about this. This one moment, it brought peace to the Middle East. That's how happy everybody was to see Rey finally take his son down. So he came back live. Dominic was so angry, he started speaking in Spanish. He was Now, you know the person is pissed off when they start ranting in Spanish. So when he was done with that, he said, what kind of father hits his own son? What kind of mother stands by and watches it happen and does nothing about it? He said that he should have told his mother to shut up a long time ago. He said, Dad, I've never said this out loud before. He said, but I wish Eddie was my real father and that you never existed, because my entire family is a disgrace to the Mysterio name. He said the Mysterio name will be his at WrestleMania. Rey made his entrance at this point. He was just shaking his head in disgust as he came out. Dominic's promos have improved so much. I'm not saying he's not CM Punk or MJF out there, but he's a lot better than he used to be. And he's a lot more confident on the microphone than he used to be. And this was one of his best promos here. I thought this was excellent. Showed great fire, anger for what his father did to him, really selling that moment from last Friday. I'm really looking forward to that match. That is probably one of the top three matches I am most looking forward to at WrestleMania this weekend. Top three or four. After a break, they came back. They joined the match already in progress. Priest went for a big boot that Rey avoided, which caused Priest to crotch himself on the ropes. Rey got him in position for the 619. Priest, though, when Rey came off the ropes, cut him off with a huge lariat. Got a close near fall out of it. Priest got Rey on the ropes and set up for the choke slam. Rey, though, fought him off and hit a Hurricane Rana from the middle rope. Rey followed up with the 619. After that, he went up to the top. Rey, though, got attacked by Dominic for the disqualification. After the match, Priest was holding Rey. Dominic threw punches at him. All of a sudden, we hear Legado del Fantasma's music, and out comes Santos Escobar, Joaquin Wilde, and Cruz del Toro, what I believe would be their first appearance ever on Monday Night Raw. So they ran out to the ring. Dominic and Priest, they fled, and that was the end of the segment. Again, they're going to have that show in Puerto Rico. They've got Backlash coming to Puerto Rico on May 6th. I'm expecting a big tag team match on that show. I think it'll be Dominic and Priest taking on Rey and Santos Escobar. If Bad Bunny does not wrestle, then maybe he'll be the referee or something. But if he doesn't wrestle, I think Rey and Escobar are going to team up to take on the Judgment Day. That's my early prediction. So backstage, they had a list of participants in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is coming up on the WrestleMania edition of SmackDown this Friday night. And the list of the participants was taped to a door backstage. We see Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. They found their names on the list. This was their first appearance, by the way, on Raw in months. So they're just there, and they see their names on the list, so they're happy. Johnny Gargano was there, and he's celebrating because he sees his name on the list, and Gargano is celebrating. It's going to be a big weekend for me. I'm wrestling on the NXT show, and I'm going to be in the Andre Battle Royal. So Gargano is celebrating like a geek. We see Rick Boogs. He's looking at the list, and he's beside himself. Like, he's euphoric because my name is there. My name is on the list. Elias is like, what are you so excited about? He goes, my name is on the list. And Elias says, well, yeah, my name's on there too. Right? Now I'm going to win the Battle Royal on Friday. So Elias, by the way, Gallows and Anderson, Gargano, Boogs, Elias. Apparently nobody watches SmackDown. None of these people watch SmackDown, because if they watch SmackDown, they would know that there was a graphic on the screen on Friday that had all of their faces on there. So evidently none of these people watch SmackDown. I guess they just go to work, or they work Mondays and they go home and they don't want to know anything from wrestling when they're on their day off. I guess. I don't know. So Elias turned around. He bumped into Dexter Lumis, who, of course, he's mute, so he said nothing. And Elias turned to walk away, and he bumped into Bronson Reed. And so he turned around again, and actually, he didn't turn around. He was backing away and bumped into someone, and when he turned around, he saw that it was Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley took issue with Elias, claiming that he was a lock to win the Battle Royal on Friday, and Lashley told him he would see him on Friday. It was so sad to see Lashley involved in this. And I sincerely hope, win or lose on Friday, and my prediction is that Lashley is going to eliminate a whole bunch of people. LA Knight is going to eliminate Bobby Lashley. And LA Knight will end up being eliminated himself, and Bronson Reed is going to win the entire thing. That's my prediction. I mean, with these battle royals, you never know, but that's my prediction for the battle royal. That would then lead to something with Lashley and LA Knight at WrestleMania. At the very least, Bobby Lashley, for God's sakes. I mean, he posted a tweet the other day saying 9 days, I think it was. 9 days! 9 days, I'm going to be at SoFi Stadium to kick somebody's ass. Well, last I checked, Friday was not at SoFi Stadium. So he better be at SoFi Stadium. Better give him something to do on that show. Get 2 nights of WrestleMania. You can find a spot for Bobby Lashley on that show. So the night of WrestleMania promos continued in the back with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn said that it was significant that they were getting their tag team title match in Los Angeles because everybody knew that they came up from nothing together in Montreal, but really they got their big break in LA. And what he was referring to was PWG. He didn't say that, but that was a PWG reference. Zayn called this title, or called this match rather, the biggest tag team title match of all time. And Owen said that he was right. Owen said the Usos were the best team in WWE up until a week ago. He says now Owens and Zayn would show the world that they can do what they can do together in the city where they got their big break. Owen said that they would achieve the biggest thing that they could achieve together, and that was winning the undisputed tag team titles at WrestleMania. By the end of this, Owens was, in his delivery, he was going nuts. Owens was on fire. He was feeling it here. It does feel like the biggest tag team title match that this company has done in many, many years. I know they unified the titles on, I guess it would have been SmackDown last year, right? With RK-Bro. So that was the title unification. But, yeah, that was a random match on SmackDown. Randy Orton was hurt. He couldn't do much. This here feels like the biggest tag team title match. I was trying to think before, when was the last time a tag team title match in WWE felt like this big of a deal and was getting this big of a spotlight on the biggest show of the year? It's been years. So you hear Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn saying this is the biggest tag team title match of all time in WWE. And my first instinct is to scoff and laugh at that, but I mean, is it? If this headlines main events WrestleMania night one, we don't know if it will or not. We don't know if it's going to be on night one. It could open night two. We don't know yet. But if this was the headline night one of WrestleMania and Owens and Zayn win, they end a 600 plus day run. This is the longest run for any tag team champions in WWE history. Right? New Day beat Demolition several years ago. Usos beat the New Day a long time ago. Many, 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 many months ago. So they already have the record on lock. They're the longest reigning tag team champions. They also are the undisputed tag team champions. They got two sets of belts. They go on and defend them in the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, you have to argue that it's, you know, the biggest tag team title match maybe in the history of the company. You can make that argument. We've had those famous TLC matches. People remember TLC 2 at WrestleMania X7 fondly, right? Edge's big spear on Jeff Hardy. I mean, that's a legendary match. But how do you compare that to a match with the story that this match has, especially if it headlines one of the nights of WrestleMania? It may well be the biggest tag team title match this company has ever done because of that story. Story is very important. Gunther and Imperium made a rare appearance on Raw for a tune-up match. It was Gunther one-on-one with Dolph Ziggler. Ziggler tried for a stinger splash in the corner, but Gunther chopped him out of midair, just swatted him like a fly, followed that with a powerbomb and the Last Symphony for the win. After the match, Gunther got on the mic, said that it was a disgrace that he would have to defend his Intercontinental Championship against two men in a triple threat at WrestleMania. But he told Sheamus and Drew McIntyre to take a look at Dolph because that is what awaits them at WrestleMania. I can think of fewer fates more scary than that of Dolph Ziggler. Sheamus is going to turn Gunther into a lobster head at WrestleMania. So I hope everybody brings their limes this weekend because we are going to have a new Intercontinental Champion. The main event was Cody Rhodes, one-on-one with Solo Sikoa, the battle of the two undefeated men who have yet to be pinned. Cody was pinned many times years ago, but that was in a previous life. I'm talking about the American Nightmare. I'm talking about Neck Tattoo Cody. Neck Tattoo Cody with all the pyro and the music, the whoa, right, everything. This is a different Cody Rhodes. This is not Legacy Cody Rhodes. This is not Cody Rhodes and Hardcore Holly. This is not Stardust. Yet to be pinned, yet to be beaten since coming back to WWE 1 year ago. Solo Sikoa since debuting at Clash at the Castle last year. Yet to be pinned, although I think he's lost by disqualification, but that don't count. Yet to be pinned coming into this match. Something's got to give, right? Somebody's got to lose. Leading into the final break, Solo gave Cody two urinages on the announce desk. Coming out of the break, Cody made a comeback, hit a snap power slam, a disaster kick, and a Cody cutter. And that set up the crossroads, which connected, and Cody took forever. He took a while before he finally covered Solo. By the time he did, so much time had gone by, Solo was able to get his foot on the bottom rope at the very last second. Cody went up top, and he stared down at Paul Heyman outside the ring and was yelling at him, and he was telling him, is this what you wanted? Is this what you wanted? He tried for a moonsault, but Solo moved and Cody crashed and burned. Sikoa went for the Samoan spike. Cody ducked it, though, and hit a second Cody cutter. And that's when we heard the Usos music, which was silly. They should have just come out instead of playing their music. I know they do this all the time, but I just thought it was stupid. So the Usos come out. Solo caught a distracted Cody with a kick and then hit the spinning Solo, but only got 2.5. It was a close near fall. Then they played Sami Zayn's music. Out came Zayn and Owens. They brawled with the Usos to the back. This distracted Solo, who was just standing there watching all this. And that allowed Cody to hit a Cody cutter. Then he hit the... there was one last attempt at a spike as well by Solo. Cody avoided it. And he got the Cody cutter. Or rather, he got the crossroads. Well, I gotta get Cody's arsenal here. I gotta get this straight. We have the Cody cutter, we have the crossroads, We have the disaster kick, right? So those are pretty much his three signature moves. It was the crossroads that he won this match with, the second crossroads of this match. And he handed Solo Sikoa his first pinfall loss. Now, this loss does not hurt Solo Sikoa in the least. First of all, he was in the ring with one half of the WrestleMania main event, the man who may well walk out of WrestleMania as the new champion, the new, you know, king of WWE. So there's no shame in losing to Cody Rhodes. That's number one. Number two, it took two Cody Cutters and two Crossroads to beat Solo Sikoa. It took him throwing the kitchen sink at this guy. Finally, he was able to take Solo down. So Solo doesn't lose anything for this. Cody screamed at Paul Heyman. He was screaming various things at Paul Heyman from the ring as the show came to an end, and Heyman was, he had his iPhone up to his mouth, and he was saying something to someone. Presumably, he was talking to Roman Reigns. Maybe he was recording a voice memo because he forgot to add the milk and the eggs to his shopping list tomorrow. I don't know. I'm just assuming he was talking to Roman Reigns. Maybe he was calling the hotel before room service ceased so he can call in his order. It was waiting for him when he got back to the hotel. Anything's possible. So we're going to get one last face-to-face on SmackDown this Friday with Cody and Roman Reigns. Tonight, a largely lackluster show. They did what they had to do as far as putting the focus on the key stories going into this weekend. It was a night that was very, very heavy on promos, and you know, most of them were very good. There's nothing wrong with that. It just doesn't make for a terribly exciting show. That is what this weekend is for. This is WrestleMania weekend. This is the biggest weekend of the year. And there are a lot of big matches scheduled for this weekend. So that's what they're saving all of the excitement for, is Saturday and Sunday. Here's the Twitter poll. 65% of you have given this show a thumbs up, with 26% thumbs in the middle, and we have 9% have given this show a thumbs down. One thing that was announced tonight by our old pal Elon on Twitter, I don't know how many of you noticed this, but our old friend Elon said that you're going to have to pay your $8 for your little blue badge if you want to be able to vote in these polls from now on, starting April 15th. So starting on the 15th, if you want to cast your vote here in one of these polls, you got to give Elon $8 of your money so you can get your little blue badge. Fuck his little blue badge, by the way. So I will continue to do the polls unless I'm unable to, because I'm not giving him my $8. So for now, we'll continue on with the polls, but there may come a point soon where we're simply not able to do them anymore. So just be aware of that. If so, maybe we'll do them on YouTube, because we can do polls here on YouTube as well. So we shall see. We shall see. You can try everything you want. He's going to come up with every little gimmick that he can to try to get that $8 out of me. It ain't going to happen. It's a matter of principle. You're not getting my $8. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, but it can also be very rewarding. When it came to what career path I wanted to pursue when I was younger, the path I was on, I realized it wasn't how I wanted to spend my life. It didn't interest me anymore. So I made a change, and since then, I've had the chance to meet a lot of very interesting people I otherwise would not have met. Likewise, therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we are the way we are until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery. Therapy can be enormously helpful in not only learning more about yourself, but learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It isn't just for people who have experienced major trauma in their lives. If you've been thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient and flexible enough to fit into your schedule no matter how busy you may be. It's easy to make excuses and say, oh, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time. But you know what? If you're not taking care of yourself, nothing else really matters. You can always make time to look out for your mental health. Just fill out a short questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. All right, so let's kick things off here with your super chats. I thank you, by the way, for everybody who has sent in a super chat. By the way, Mekon Headed Freak just became a Sound Off superstar. So he just became a brand new channel member. Thank you, thank you. We got a lot of new channel members. I'm expecting quite a few new ones this weekend as well for WrestleMania. So I'm hoping our little Green World Order family will expand this weekend. That just, it's more mouths for me to feed. But the family is growing bigger with each passing week. Ed Swoggle at the Footprint Center. That's right, Ed Swoggle was in Phoenix for the show tonight. So this was before the show started. He says he had great seats. He had great seats, but I didn't see any sound-off signs, Ed. What's going on? Where are those sound-off logo signs? Hoping it was a great show by the time you have read this, GWO for life. Yes, Ed is part of the family. Hey, Mekon, thank you. Mekon says, you got my $5, so that's right. That's right. Forget Elon. Just give it to me. Believe me, you'll get more out of me than you will out of Elon anyway. So. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. WrestleMania Week. NXT Stand and Deliver. And Final Four Basketball. I cannot wait to watch these events. There's a lot of wrestling this week. You're only scratching the surface of what wrestling we're getting. So yeah, between the Final Four and the wrestling stuff, it's a very busy week. Got the Mets having their opening day on Thursday. Baseball season is here. Hey, Kyle. Kyle Saradonio with the $10 super chat. Are you still able to get behind a character and root for them? Or has time/podcasting changed the way that you watch wrestling? If so, who is the last wrestler that you have felt that way about? No, I mean, it hasn't changed my ability to get behind a wrestler. I mean, no, I've gotten behind plenty of wrestlers. I was behind Sami Zayn throughout this whole Bloodline stuff. He was the best part of the show on most weeks. You know, I was rooting for Sami that whole time. It was great to see him in a prominent position. I was enjoying his work. So am I incapable of getting behind a wrestler or a character just because I'm older and I look at wrestling differently, or I'm, as a podcaster, I look at it different. I do look at things differently. It does affect my view of the show. But if somebody comes along that I can get behind and get excited to see, no, not at all. I can absolutely get behind somebody. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. I got a chance to hear your thoughts about CM Punk earlier today. I asked myself, how the hell AEW became the accident just waiting to happen? Bobby's World, 2110 with the $20 super chat. Really enjoyed your take on the CM Punk situation on the Sound Off. His comments on Moxley were interesting, considering Punk was very complimentary of him during that ill-fated scrum. Well, we're going to see if Moxley is going to take the high road or not, because Moxley's wife, Renee, has announced that she is going to be interviewing him. Well, she has already interviewed him, but the interview with him is dropping tomorrow on her podcast. And she said, yes, he does address CM Punk's Instagram comments. So tomorrow, I guess, depending on what he says, does he take the high road or does he just shoot back at Punk? Tomorrow is probably going to be all about the Jon Moxley interview. So that is going to be very interesting. And depending on what he has to say, we will talk about that on the Dynamite stream on Wednesday night. Fire Panda also dropping a $20 super chat. Fire Panda, I think that might be the one that scared the shit out of me before we went live. Just so you know. Had the program open, and when the super chat comes in, even before I start streaming, it still pops up on screen for me. So he said, just so we know, Solo is an AEW mark, an E-drone. He's on both companies' payrolls, gives the benefit of the doubt to AEW, but not to WWE, And to top it all off, he has turned into an AEW ass kisser. My God, Solo, can you pick a side already? You know, what can I say? What can I say? And I knew that in some of those comments under the CM Punk video that I would find some of that, some of those cancerous comments. And sure enough, they were in there. I can't tell you how many comments I got. Oh, you know, so I should have expected nothing less from Solo Monster. He always kisses AEW's ass. AEW to him never does any wrong. Which, by the way, if you join me for the Dynamite streams every week, you would know how funny that is. Oh, AEW can do no wrong, and the Bucks are just innocent little angels. And there were also quite a few very interesting conspiracy theories. I had one person arguing that the workers' rights promo that Hangman Page cut that kind of kicked all of this off last year was a promo that he was coerced into cutting by the Young Bucks. That's the first time I had heard that. So that's new information. I said to the person, I said, how do you know this? Like, I've not heard this before. Do you have some inside knowledge that I'm unaware of? And of course, they couldn't tell me where they heard that from. So, some very interesting takes that I have heard today. I'll leave it at that. Josh C., 98. Bloodline Goodfellas parody was gold. Best one that they've done. Am I a tribal clown? I knew it was going to be good. When I first saw that they had done the Bloodline and the Goodfellas combo, I've been waiting for that one, and they saved the best one for last. Eric says, Solo and Tony Khan do cocaine together on the weekend. What I do on the weekend stays on the weekend. Be spreading rumors now about Tony, about poor Tony Khan. Naughty Delicious says, this whole news of CM Punk calling out AEW in his Instagram story and then deleting it is disappointing. Makes me say, fuck wrestling politics. I got news for you. Wrestling politics has been around since the dawn of time. Really nothing new. Thomas with the $10 super chat. You've talked about how there are finishers that are protected. Bianca's KOD is the most protected finisher right now. Do you think Asuka will be the first one to kick out of it? Will Asuka be the first person to kick out of the KOD? You know what? I'll say yes. I think she will. I still think Bianca is going to find a way to win. I think Bianca should go heel. But yeah, I'll say Asuka will kick out. They'll at least give her that. I think she'll kick out of the KOD. Might take more than one to put her down. Lakers Pats, did you see the XPW needle to the head spot? I heard about it. I did not see it. I have no interest in seeing it. I have no interest in XPW whatsoever. Didn't back in the day and have no interest now. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Dominic Mysterio is a better heat magnet than MJF. Carmelo Hayes versus Bron Breakker's story is better than Moxley against Hangman Page. I might agree with you on that. Naughty Delicious is Will Smith against Chris Rock at WrestleMania 39 on April 1st. Impractically Christopher, hey, thank you for the $25 super chat. When was the last time that we went into WrestleMania with so many tenured champions? Roman 900 plus days, Uso 600 plus days, Bianca 350, Gunther 290, Braun 350. It definitely is going to make the title changes feel stronger when they happen. I can't remember another period of time in the last 20 or 30 years where we've had that many long championship runs. So, you know, I feel like, not that I'm saying that we should have a bunch of short ones, but we are due for some shorter ones. And I'm okay with having a long one here and there every now and then, but I also think you don't want to make a habit out of that. You don't want to have these, you know, this rotation of, okay, somebody has it for 500 days, and then the next person has to have it for 300 or 350. I think we're actually overdue for some shorter title reigns, which I think we'll get coming out of WrestleMania. Armchair critic, better overall wrestler, Hunter or Brian? Brian. Shawnee in the Wrestling, 1999 Super Chat. Pick the best name for each. Alundra Blaze or Medusa? Medusa for sure. Lita or Miss Congeniality? Lita. Cactus Jack Mankind. I like Mankind, the character, but Cactus Jack is just a better name. Dean Ambrose or John Moxley? John Moxley. Neville or Pack? Pack. X-Pac or Six? X-Pac. Leviathan or Batista? Leviathan's a pretty cool name. I've gotten used to Batista. But, you know, I'll say Leviathan. I think Leviathan's a very cool name. Acolytes or APA? APA. Doink or Born Again? Born Again was a clever takeoff for Matt Bourne in ECW. I'll go with Born Again. Jackal or Cyrus the Virus? I'll go Cyrus. Giant or Big Show? Neither one are very inventive, but I'll go with the Giant. Tomas with the $4.99 solo thinks that I act like a baby when I'm talking about CM Punk. Because you have no idea what you're talking about. Tomas, you're being a whiny little baby about it. Don't be a whiny little baby. I know you're a CM Punk fan. I know it's hard for you to hear the truth. I know it hurts your ears. But you got to take off the rose-colored glasses and you have to see things for how they really are. CM Punk acted like a bitch at the media scrum. CM Punk is very talented. I don't hate CM Punk. I like CM Punk. I was excited to see CM Punk come to AEW, but he acted like a bitch. You can't defend the way that he acted at the media scrum. That's another thing I saw a lot of in the comments section. People who were taking sides, they hate the Elite. Right? And they're using all the funny little cornet nicknames for them because they can't think for them fucking selves. So they use, you know, Twinkle Toes and the Balding Bucks and all these stupid fucking names because they can't think for themselves. But they can't admit that CM Punk acted like a fucking idiot at the media scrum and embarrassed himself and embarrassed the company and embarrassed Tony Khan. Talked about how people act like children and then proceeded to act like one himself. It's not an all or nothing thing. You could say that everybody involved here, there are no truly innocent parties in this, but to excuse CM Punk and say that, oh, CM Punk did nothing wrong and the Young Bucks are, you know, they're spreading rumors and lies about him and so CM Punk did what he had to do. CM Punk acted like a bitch. And I'm not surprised that there are a lot of people backstage who don't want him back in that company. Why would they? Why would they? So if you can't admit that, I don't know what to tell you. You gotta take your head out of your ass, Tomas. Seriously. You can like CM Punk and admit that he was a bitch at the media scrum. And he did not act in a way that he should have acted. And if he had issues, that's fine. Take them up personally with the parties involved. Or if you feel like things have been stated publicly that are false, there's a way to try to correct the record without, again, completely ambushing things the way that he did at that media scrum. There are still people defending the way that he acted at that media scrum all these months later as if he did nothing wrong. CM Punk was right to do what he did, and they can't understand why people like me would say that CM Punk cannot come back to AEW. How come they can't make money? What are you talking about? They can make so much money. They should just go ahead and make money. Yeah, they should. But then there are times where people can't work together. Sometimes people just can't work together. Maybe they don't want to work together. Yeah, there were a lot of people I could tell they didn't listen to what I said, because the main point that I made in my rant the other day, it was a very important point that people seem to have overlooked, which is that if CM Punk has all of these issues with this company, and if CM Punk thinks that this company was not looking out for him and was not looking out for his health and was not looking out for what's best for him, and they wanted him to come back and he wasn't cleared yet from his foot injury and all of this stuff, and he's got Chris Jericho allegedly as a stooge, and he's leaking shit to Dave Meltzer, and apparently the Bucks are stooges, and this person can't be trusted, and that person can't be trusted, then if you have a company filled with people that you cannot trust, then you cannot work for that company. What is so hard to understand about that? That is the biggest reason why CM Punk needs to go, whether he's right or wrong about the people that he works with. If he can't trust them, this will never work. This is what these people don't seem to understand. You're being very narrow-minded. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. That is the key. How is he supposed to work with people that he does not trust? Cut the bullshit and listen and pay attention to what I am saying instead of looking at a fucking headline and leaving stupid comments for me. Listen to what I am saying. And Tomas, I'm not talking about you when it comes to that. I'm talking about all the dumb shit comments that I saw. People who didn't actually listen to what I had to say. Rodimus, with the $5 super chat. Overall, a mid-show, but other than that, I am hyped for WrestleMania. Devin from NJ2000. Thank you, Devin. I appreciate it. Casey is Raw. Says, I rate this Raw. Says, it sucked out of 10. I didn't think it sucked. I just didn't think it was a very exciting show. Tomas, yeah, I didn't think it was. I wasn't sure if that was officially you or not. But again, that was not directed entirely to you, just so you're aware. But apparently that was a different Tomas. So yes, I'm aware that that wasn't you. Sam Dankman Weed, can we get a hefty, wimpy, wimpy, wimpy from your little voice thing? Now, we're not doing the little voice tonight, but Sam, thank you. I just gave you your hefty. There you go. Motif says, I like turtles, but I love the Solomonster. Well, I'm glad that you prioritize me over the turtles. That makes me feel good. I appreciate that.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Juan Sanchez says, going to my first WrestleMania, super excited. Also, buy or sell on the better G1 final, all in their prime. Liger against HBK or Punk against Goldberg. Liger against HBK. That's one of those matches that we never got to see that I wish we did. Sam says, when you're GWO, you are GWO for 1 month. Only if you're gifted a membership. If you actually buy a membership, which is fantastic, I love you for it, then you pay month to month. But if you are gifted a membership, so you know, it's only good for a month and then it expires. And hopefully you guys will pay to stick around. Hopefully you will want to continue to be part of the family. But that's how the memberships work on YouTube. We're only about 30 likes away for Be the Booker. So if you want to do Be the Booker, get them on in. We're going to be wrapping up soon. Slim Yoshi with the $5 super chat. I don't know about everybody else, but I hope Ray and Dominic open night too. Just like when Ray opened WrestleMania 21 with Eddie the last time they were in LA. James Hollins, who is the better women's division, or who has the better women's division? AEW or WWE? I mean, WWE has a huge pipeline of very talented women right now at the Performance Center and in NXT. They actually have a lot of very talented women right now down there. As far as the main roster, compared to the AEW roster right now, I would go with... it's tough because, you know, they've added a lot of really good female talent on the AEW side. They're just not all being used in a great way right now. But I would have to go... I would give the edge to AEW just in terms of the talent right now that they have. I just wish that they would do a better job with them, but I would probably give the edge to AEW. Dick the Cock Johnson, what will be the best women's match this weekend, do you think? Athena against Yuka Sakazaki or Bianca against Asuka? Personally, leaning towards Athena because Athena has been on fire this year. I would also agree. I think I would give the edge to Athena and Yuka. I think they'll probably end up having the better of the two matches. Brandon Vasquez with the $10 super chat. Today I remember the go-home show for WrestleMania 18. Austin and Rock against the NWO. Closest we got to Hogan versus Austin. They were in the ring together for about 30 seconds. Great memorable Raw main event. I remember thinking I couldn't believe they were giving it away. I remember watching that live. Pyro Beetle with the $4. You said on the podcast that if Roman wins at WrestleMania, he would be the first heel to win the main event 3 times in a row, but you forgot Hogan did. Okay. You know what? Fair play. Fair play to you for that, yes. As we have learned... As we have gotten older and wiser, Hogan really was always a heel. So, if you consider Hogan to have always been a heel, then yes, it would be Hogan. But officially, Hogan was not a heel. Edwin Cardenas with the $4.99. I'm going to WrestleMania. It is going to be my first wrestling show. Wow. So, your first wrestling show live is going to be WrestleMania. That's awesome. It's a little unfair because it's going to set a standard that cannot be matched when you go to like a Monday Night Raw after this. It's not going to be the same. But if it's your first show, trust me, as somebody who's been to 8 WrestleManias, if you've never been to one before, just to be there live, it's a really fun experience. Joseph, buy, rent, sell. On these fantasy WWE versus AEW pairings, would have the best match and could have the best story. Lashley against Hobbs, Darby against Ricochet, Moxley against Cody Rhodes. I think the best story potential is for Moxley and Cody. The best match would be Darby and Ricochet. So if I had to rank, if you wanted me to rank them in terms of what I would want to see personally, I would go Darby Ricochet. You know what? I would go Darby Ricochet, Lashley Hobbs, and then Moxley and Cody. Eric, how would you build up the women's title matches? How would I build them up? They've already been built up. How would I have done it? Not the way they did. Honestly, I would have done Bianca and Rhea. I would have gone with Bianca and Rhea. And did Charlotte and Asuka. and played off that history of Charlotte and Asuka and Charlotte handing Asuka her first loss at WrestleMania 34, I would have given Asuka that harder edge going into WrestleMania. And as far as Bianca and Rhea, I think, you know, you could build a story around the fact that these are the two women of the future in this company. These are the two women this company is going to build itself around going forward. I mean, you could easily come up with something better than what they did with the two matches that they put together, but I don't even think I would have probably gone with Charlotte and Rhea. Probably would have gone with Bianca and Rhea. That's what I thought they were going to do. MK, $5. Been a listener since 2015. Keep up the great work. Going to WrestleMania for the first time and looking forward to this, even, event, with my son. Again, enjoy the show. You're going to have a lot of fun. I always had fun going to those first few WrestleManias in New Orleans and California and Texas. You know, I just kind of, I went to 35 was my last one, and I just kind of tired out of the whole thing. You'll enjoy it. Have fun. Justin Glasner, paying up for my Sala Monster Blue. we can do polls without Twitter. Thank you. Yes. I'm gonna call it, maybe we should change our Green World Order. We'll call it the Sala Monster Blue Crew. How about that? We'll call it the Sala Monster Blue Crew, and I will take the Twitter check mark, and I will make that the new badge. And so everybody will have the check mark, and there's nothing Elon can do about it. How about that? What do you think about that? Hey, Bullsy. It's Bullsy. Just became a channel member. What's going on, Bullsy? The Rock versus Sting with the $9.99 coming in for the main event between Cody and Roman. Who should be the ring announcer for the match? Not sure if someone already asked. Is there a reason why you're asking about the ring announcer, though? Just wondering why you're asking about the ring announcer. I assume that it would be Samantha Irvin. Armchair Critic, why did Austin not return for Punk, but did for Kevin Owens? He just wasn't feeling it at the time. I mean, that would have been great back in 2011? What year was that? That would have been great. Austin and Punk at that time, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, that would have been great. But I don't know that Austin felt like he was in a position where he could do it. Simple as that. You know, obviously, as the years have gone by, something changed. He wanted to work with Kevin Owens, and so he made the match happen. Mikey Driftwood, AEW is what happens when you have no grown-ups willing to stand up and say enough. I will say this. If Vince McMahon were in charge, none of that shit would have happened. Say what you want about Vince, but if he was the man in charge, none of that shit would have gone down the way. MH Nova, WrestleMania in different cities, like WrestleMania 2, but one city each night. I mean, that just sounds like a logistical nightmare to me. I don't know. Because you got to create two different sets. That's an expensive thing that they do when they put these elaborate sets together. I would rather have one really nice custom set for WrestleMania as opposed to having two sort of lesser ones because they don't want to spend the money. I mean, there's a lot of considerations you got to take into account here. So I just don't think logistically it makes a whole lot of sense. Doesn't mean they won't try it at some point. Cameron Johnson, what is the funniest thing you ever got in trouble for as a kid? The funniest thing I ever got in trouble for? I bit somebody. In kindergarten, I bit somebody for stealing a Lego. I mean, maybe That sounds funny to me. It's still funny to me all these years later. I guess that would be it. Maximum ALX with a $19.99. How do you feel about the idea of Asuka turning heel at Mania and bringing in Mako Satomura as her mouthpiece? Mako can talk and work, which would give Asuka much needed depth. You know, I've heard Mako talking on NXT. She's not, I mean, you make it sound like she's fluent in English. She's not. You know, Asuka can talk too. She's not fluent in English either. So I'm not sure that Mako would do a much better job being her mouthpiece. But hey, I mean, if it would be a way to get Mako on the main roster doing stuff, I'm fine with that. I don't know if that's something she wants to do, though. She's still running a school. I think she's still running her school. Red Emissary of Darkness, yes, I do. Justin Hesse with the $4.99. Says F Punk. Solo got the shout out from Katrina. Have you? House of Glory for life. We all hope Katrina is doing well. Tom Phelan, Triple H was right about Punk. Dr. Dakota Scorpio, first you defend Punk, and now you hating on Punk after what happened. You being worked, bro, but I don't expect you to understand, you e-shill. Of course, I'm a huge e-shill. Tomorrow I'll be carrying the water for AEW. It depends on what day of the week it is. Mr. Arabian Knight, why hasn't Sable gone into their Hall of Fame? Is there heat with her, or has she expressed that she does not want to go in? She deserves to be in, maybe even co-headline. Possible that maybe she's expressed that she doesn't want to go in. I don't know. You're opening a can of worms with her because there is also a bad history there. There has been issues with her in the company in the past, although she did come back. Many years ago. I don't know. I mean, she was hugely over during that attitude era. Huge. I mean, insanely over. So you absolutely can make the argument that Sable should be in the Hall of Fame, but you're opening a can of worms, and with Brock being involved, I mean, you know, it's his wife. I don't know. It could just be a situation where maybe they just don't want to, kind of let sleeping dogs lie, so to speak. But yeah, maybe she's declined. Maybe they've offered and we just don't know, and she said no. What are they going to do? Go to Brock and say, hey, try to convince your wife to go into the Hall of Fame? K-Dog's Kennel. Just got home from work. Just want to say congrats on 800 episodes. You're amazing at what you do. Thank you for all that you do. Here is to 800 more. K-Dogs, I appreciate that very much. Who would induct Sable? Why don't we have Tammy do it? Oh, that's right. I forgot. She's behind bars. Yeah, I'm sure Tammy would love to induct Sable into the Hall of Fame. I'm sure nothing would give her more joy. Juan Ocampo, after that rant, you are still an elite shill. Just kidding. Oh, believe me, I'm sure people will be even more convinced of it now that I've said my piece. But, again, people just don't like, they don't like hearing the truth. Groovy Goose, if all it takes for Punk to get upset are internet rumors, forget about trying to work with him professionally because he won't. Hence, brawl out. Thunder Force with the $6 super chat. Do you think WrestleMania 39 could be the best WrestleMania since 31? I thought 38 was excellent last year. I think 39 has a tall order ahead of it, just the top 38. Before 38, though, yeah, I would go back to 31 and 30 as the best WrestleManias. Justin Hesse, my sound off mug from Zazzle is working overtime tonight. Everybody buy one right now. That's right. Everybody needs a mug. Everybody needs to get mugged. Just go to thesolomonster.com. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see Get Mugged. You can get them there. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor says, damn it, I have to say it, but the AEW mystique and magic that was wonderful for the promotion died when Brawl Out killed it. Huffman says, why can't I remember last year's WrestleMania? It's because you're getting old. That's why. It's Bullsey with the $10 super chat. What's going on, Bullsey? Why are they doing Omos against Brock at WrestleMania? It seems more like a TV match than a pay-per-view match. Hey, there's Uncle Saudi. It seems more like a TV match than a pay-per-view match. I just think plans got all fucked up. I think there probably was a plan to do Brock and Bray, and then Brock didn't want to do it. Because there's no way Brock and Omos was their original plan. There's no way that was Triple H's original plan for WrestleMania. Something had to go haywire. Something had to fall through. And so, I'm sure it sounds like a Vince McMahon suggestion. Triple H went with it. I wouldn't be surprised if Vince suggested it. Triple H was like, you know what? We'll give it to the old man. I'm not going to die on this hill. If Brock's willing to do it, even better. They may be thinking even better if he's willing to put Omos over. I said, it's going to depend on what Brock's status is. If he's really done, he may well lose. He may well put Omos over. I don't think he will. I think he'll win. But yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't have... It's not a pay-per-view match. But to me, it's just a backup to whatever their original idea was going to be. So. Love Lie. Trade Kevin Patrick and Vic Joseph. What say you? Yeah, but then we get Kevin Patrick on NXT. Imagine if he was calling WrestleMania. You know what? Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a slight improvement for Raw. So, yeah, why not? Ed Swoggle just got home from Raw. Had lots of fun live, but they really need to cut it down from 3 hours because I am exhausted. How do you think I feel sitting here watching it? I'm glad you had fun, though. The Rock versus Sting. I figured, too, Samantha would be the better option as the ring announcer. She does a great Roman introduction all the time. Great review, as always. Thank you, Rock versus Sting. Which would have been a great match back in the day. Nathaniel Fincher with the $2 super chat. First-time commenter, had to do it with a tip. Well, that's very nice of you, Nathaniel. Thank you. I hope that you will enjoy your stay. We got a lot of content coming up this week, so I hope you'll stick around. Justin says, Arabian Nights, like Arabian Days, more often than not, are hotter than hot in a lot of good ways. You're a poet, too, I see. Although I've never been to a place as hot as Las Vegas in July, where it was 114 every day. I will not be doing that again. Zachariah Sitchin. Will the Tribal Chief character remain a heel, or could there be a babyface turn? Your thoughts? I am leaning towards remaining a heel. Roman will eventually be a gigantic babyface. But he absolutely should not be coming out of WrestleMania. So to answer your question, no. He should stay heel. The Bloodline story is not over, regardless of what happens at WrestleMania. The Bloodline story is not over. So Tribal Chief needs to continue as a heel for many more months, but eventually Roman will just naturally be a babyface, and not like babyface Roman 5 years ago. That would be death. He can still be a version of the Tribal Chief without going back to the Roman Reigns that we remember from many years ago, but a face turn is inevitable. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. Did I make the Aladdin connection? I did not, actually, Darth. I did not make the connection until you just mentioned it. Naughty Delicious is Trish Stratus with a heart emoji. Trish is I'm tongue-tied. Look at this. I'm talking about Trish and I'm tongue-tied. I think that says it all. Rufus Pancake Patterson, Simon Gotch, returns at WrestleMania and buries Enzo Amore. See, that I would be willing to pay for my Peacock subscription. There you go. J. GCC 305, Austin shows KO over Punk because KO is not a whiny little brat. Love the review. So here's $5. I got to get back to work. Take care. Thank you, GCC. Look at that. He did a quick run-in, like a drive-by, and now he's going right back to work. Blue eyes, contacts, Roman Reigns. Yep. I remember they put the blue-eyed contacts in him, and Vince was personally writing his promos, and every fucking thing they did with this guy just made it worse and worse and worse. Joshua Bonfield says, I hate Cody. Makings of the next Super Cena. Armchair Critic used to be a huge CM Punk fan in the summer of 2011, but his delusional, hypocritical choice to go to UFC on top of the recent unprofessional rant changed it. Well, why was him going to UFC a hypocritical choice? I mean, I always gave him credit for having the balls to do it, to be honest with you. I mean, he embarrassed himself, but a lot of people wouldn't have had the balls to even step in there and get punched in the face, so I always gave him credit for that, at least. Delusional, yes. I don't know how that makes it hypocritical, though. Darth Panic says you should wear a GWO green suit to your next House of Glory show. I don't have any green suits, but your suggestion is noted. If I see one, I might consider it. Randall, do you think CM Punk will return to AEW? I do not. Magic Mac Music says Monday Night Raw Dog. Thank you, Magic Mac. Magic Mac Music dropping that $6 super chat. And Sam Dankman Weed says, was suffering succotash Roman's lowest point? I think it would have to be. I mean, I can't think of one that's worse. Other than maybe him being destroyed by John Cena on the microphone. I would think suffering succotash is pretty much the basement, right? I mean, how much lower can you go? It was not just the suffering succotash. It was the suffering succotash and the wink. Like, he said it and then turned to the camera and went, like, I wanted to gag. Like, someone actually thought that was a good idea. I felt bad for him because you knew. You had to know that he looked at this and went, what are you doing to me? But that was during the phase where Vince was personally writing his shit. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, he was just doing what he was told to do. And, you know, I felt bad for the guy. The Rock versus Sting. Roman surviving the Vince booking should be an A&E episode. A&E episode. I think that should be a Dark Side of the Ring episode. That's what I think. Dark Side of the Ring. Roman Reigns survives the early booking of Vince McMahon. So the wink was part of the script? Of course it was. It was so forced. How do you not figure that it was part of the script? You got to say the line, you got to look into the camera, and you got to give the wink. Vince thought that was cool. He thought that, oh man, this is going to get this guy over, man. It's a cool baby face. You know, he's like the grandpa who thinks everything is cool and nobody really has the balls to tell him, hey, grandpa, like, you know, that might have been cool like 40 years ago, but, you know, you're fucking old, man, and what you think is cool is not cool. And nobody had the guts to say it to Vince. But you guys smashed our goal tonight. Goal was 500 likes to do Be the Booker, and we indeed are at 530. Plus likes. So, thumbs up to all of you. Let's do it. Let's be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Let's be the Booker. We wrap up another Monday night here, the final Raw stream before WrestleMania. We're going to book ourselves some matches here. Maybe I'll even be able to play some of these matches in 2K23, which I'm hoping to have some time this week to record the first installment of Sound Off Gamer 2K23. Probably be my rise mode. We begin with William Regal, the power of the punch, a real man's man. William Regal. He'll be stepping into the ring to go one-on-one with Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Regal and Diesel. Back in their prime? Hell yeah, man. You know, Bret Hart was the one who always pulled the best matches out of Kevin Nash. I think William Regal could have pulled one out of him, too. William Regal and Big Daddy Cool Diesel. It's a match I never even thought about. All these Be the Booker matches always get me thinking. On the ladies' side, we begin with the lovely TBS champion, Jade Cargill. Undefeated Jade Cargill. Who's going to beat Jade? We're just waiting for Chris Statlander to get back. Is it going to be Taya Valkyrie? I don't think so. Taya's in here, though. Maybe we'll do Jade and Taya here and Be the Booker. It'll be Jade Cargill. I'll tell you what, whoever I land on here, this is going to be the person to end the streak of Jade Cargill. Here we go. Jade Cargill's streak is going to come to an end at the hands of Nikki A.S.H. Oh, my God. Nikki A.S.H., almost a superhero, has ended the undefeated streak of Jade Cargill. I should have my booking privileges revoked for that. That's awful. Unlike Vince McMahon, I know when it's my time to step down as the head of creative here. On the tag team side, we kick things off with the Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Look at all that hair on Shawn's head. Sucks getting old. Rocker's going to be taking on the hell were they called? Oh, the Matadors. Oh, I hit the wrong... Ah, goddammit. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I was going to hit the buzzer, but you know what? El Torito is there, so I give it the bell. There you go. El Torito being knocked down by Bo Dallas is still one of the greatest moments in Monday Night Raw history. Actually, you know what? As a match, it probably would be an excellent match. So I don't mind hitting the bell, even though it was an accident. I think it was meant to be, because I actually think that would be a very good in-ring match. Not a marquee match, but a very good in-ring match. We have a lot of content coming up this week, including a live Dynamite stream on Wednesday night, where we may be addressing the Jon Moxley comments. Depending on what those comments are, we'll find out tomorrow. So I'll be live on YouTube after 10 p.m. on Wednesday. I'm going to be live on YouTube Friday night. We're going to be talking about SmackDown. I know there's a lot of wrestling that night, but we're going to stick to our usual schedule. 10:20, I'll be live on YouTube talking about the final SmackDown, the final Roman and Cody face-to-face. And hopefully later on that night, early the next morning, I'll be able to catch up on the Hall of Fame and the Ring of Honor pay-per-view and all that stuff, by the way. I will cover whatever I'm not able to cover live. I will cover on episode 802, because we're doing a podcast on Sunday. So, Supercard of Honor, if I can watch it. Stand and Deliver. We're going to talk about all that stuff, plus WrestleMania Night 1 on Sunday. But, of course, for WrestleMania, I will be live on YouTube Saturday night, Sunday night for Part 2. And then right back here next Monday for the post-WrestleMania episode of Raw. So that plus Sound Off Gamer is coming soon. You guys got a lot of content coming. And when Sound Off Gamer is done, just so you know, all you new channel members that are in here right now, one of the perks you get with these special features that I do on the channel, you will get early access. So Sound Off Gamer, when that first episode goes up, whether it's this week or next week, you guys will get it first, at least the first 24 hours. First 24 to 48 hours. You guys are going to get it first before anybody else. So keep an eye out for that. Arabian Night 2000. Do you think Santos Escobar could be a legitimate main eventer? He is the first lucha talent since Del Rio who can talk, work, and has the look of a megastar. I think he has that potential. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know. But does he have the potential? Because, like you said, he has all the tools. He can talk, right? Fluent English. We know what he can do in the ring. I think that he could definitely have that kind of, crossover appeal. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor, Pretty Deadly on NXT, do look like the Rockers. They do. Which is smart for them to model themselves that way, considering their boss is Shawn Michaels. So let's suck up to the boss by dressing up like him. Pretty Deadly is actually very good. I think that they will be on the main roster very soon. We'll be seeing them soon on the main roster. So, good shit tonight. And I will be back with you again to do it all over again on Wednesday night. If you missed episode 801 of the podcast where I got into the CM Punk stuff, download the podcast. The clip itself is also up on YouTube, but there's other content from Sunday that is not going up on YouTube. So check out the full show, download it, stream it, snort it, however you absorb it. And I'll be back with you on Wednesday night talking AEW Dynamite. Thank you for all the love and all of our new channel members. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys Wednesday.